Good morning, friends, and welcome to the worship of the living God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is a national holiday, Memorial Day, where we honor our war dead. We would not have the freedoms we have as a church without the defense of our country. So I invite you to take a moment and bow your head and thank God for all those who have given their lives in service of our freedoms. Almighty God, we thank you for the lives of those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice in service of this nation, and that the church may live in freedom. Amen. Please stand. Let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Blessed are those who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. All scripture is inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Our procession hymn of praise is from the Jewish tradition, number 116, The God of Abraham Praise. I invite you to return my blessing, and then we will be prepared to pray together. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you alone know the names of all who have ever lived. You see the generations unfolding across the ages, and at the end we all stand before you to have the truth told. We thank you for raising up the Jews as your chosen people, as those who would know your mercy and learn your ways, write and preserve the Holy Scriptures, and among whom Jesus the Savior would be born of a Jewish mother. How patient and thorough was your preparation of all things. You have not left us trapped in the misery of ignorance, in the foolishness of sin, in the cruelty of evil, and in the grip of death. You have opened us a new way for all the world in Jesus Christ, and for all who respond to his light, there is new life. By the influences of your Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts to the wonder of this great salvation. Speak to us now as we wait in silence before your awesome majesty. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me.
If you are a regular or first-time visitor, we welcome you to Main Street United Methodist Church, which has been serving Greenwood for over 160 years. One of our weekly customs is to count sheep or register attendance. So if you're on this center aisle, if you'll pick up the pad and pass it down, and please don't let it skip you. We want to know that you were here. If you're a visitor, give us your address. We'll send you a letter of welcome and maybe put you on our newsletter list. On Monday, the office will be closed. Next week, we'll be beginning registration for Bible school attendance. And I have a special word here for all married couples. Next week, we'll be releasing a brochure about our summer ministry for our Main Street Academy. And we're doing something different this summer. We're having four family movie nights that should stir some Christian discussion. And we're having four date nights for dating or married couples. Now, gentlemen, if you've not been on a date in a while, I have some preliminary instructions for you for the first Wednesday in June. You are to bathe that day. You are to shave and put on deodorant. That evening, you are to put on some Old Spice or whatever smelling. You are to wear a new unstained pair of khakis. You are to shine your shoes and wear a nice shirt. And you are to rediscover something amazing. There is a door handle on the other side of your car. You will open the door. You will pull out the seat. It will be a special evening. You will come to the church for about a 20-minute video on that night's date. Isn't that amazing? Child care is provided. Kathy Kelly has been all over town for a month getting restaurants to support our date night. You will receive coupons for desserts and for coffee. Any other beverages will be up to you and not on the church tab. So I invite every man here to mark out the first Wednesday in June for the first of four date nights. We'll come watch a funny video. You'll be given an assignment and about an hour and a half to go to your undisclosed romantic location where we provide the coupons. For you men that are cheap, this will be a great evening. So with that little bit of humor, I invite you to mark that day on your calendar, and we will have a brochure for you next week. And I invite you now to listen to the Word of God that is read by Patricia Lindell.
Let us now hear selected verses of God's Word from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And this is from chapters 3 and 4. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all the God of all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. My point is this. Heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are owners of all the property. But they remained under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us. While we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Nothing is more powerful than the scriptures when they are well and prayerfully read. Thank you, Patricia. I want to ask our children now to come forward and join Jessica Morris for our children's time. So children, just flood the aisles and come right down to the center and join Jessica.
Good morning. I'm so happy to see all of you this morning on this holiday weekend. I'm glad y'all made it to church this morning. Y'all can come a little bit closer if you want to. I promise I put deodorant on this morning. I want us to talk about family this morning. Tell me some people who are in your family. Yeah. Your mom and your dad, okay? Who else is in your family? Your brother? Who else? Your mom? What? Who's in your family? Your dad? What about your sister? What about your grandparents? Yeah? What about your aunts and your uncles? Or your cousins? Yeah. Do you know where your family came from? You should ask your parents if they know, hopefully. You know, there's a long line of of where our family came from. You know, we have our mom and our dad, and our mom and our dad's mom and dad, and their our mom and dad's mom and dad's mom and dad. You know, it goes on and on and on and on. And there's a tree right here, and there's something that we use called a family tree. And we kind of use a family tree to talk about all the people that are in our family. And our scripture this morning has Luke, who talks about Jesus's family and the family that God has built. And I'll show you the long line. Look. Y'all see how many people? It's like the son of so and so, and the son of so and so is the son of so and so, and is the son of so and so. You see how long that line is? Yeah, that's a lot of people. That is what we call Jesus's genealogy, which is a big fancy word for God's family, Jesus's family. And so we actually come from God's family. Whenever we're baptized, we enter into God's family. And that family that we have here as a church, last week we had our sixth graders who were confirmed, and they wrote in their affirmation of faith a part about what they believe about the church. And one line that they wrote in it said, our church, we believe our church is one big family. Do you believe that? That our church is one big family? We're a family that prays together and worships together, and we have fun together. They even wrote that in their affirmation of faith, that we have fun together as a church family. So what I want to invite each of you to do, I'm going to give you a leaf, and Skylar and Cecilia are going to give you a piece of tape, and I want you to come up, and you're going to place your leaf on this family tree. This is our church family tree. So let's do this really quickly. So everybody get up and get a leaf and a piece of tape and tape it somewhere on our tree. One more leaf. Come put on our tree. Put on our tree. There you go. All right, let's show everybody our tree. Can we stand up and show them our family tree? Maybe later the congregation can come up and put their own leaf on our family tree. So this is our family. We're part of God's family when we're baptized. And we're part of a church family, and that's important for people to know, that you're part of your own family, your mom and dad's family, but you're also part of God's family and our church family. Can we pray? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for inviting us to be in your family. Bless each of our families and our church family. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Jessica. Growing up in Charal, South Carolina, it was a joke that the Catholics were going to heaven with the creeds. The Episcopalians were going to heaven with the prayer book. The Baptists were going to heaven with a Bible. The Methodists were going to heaven with a covered dish. That's only partly true, because we are a biblical people. I want to read to you from our United Methodist Confession of Faith, which is official church doctrine, that affirms what and why the Scripture is important. It begins with the words of confession. We believe the Holy Bible in both parts, Old and New Testaments, we often read from both parts in worship, reveals the Word of God so far as necessary for our salvation. The Bible does not tell us everything we need to know. It does not tell us about geology and organic chemistry. It tells us how to have a relationship with God. Its purpose is theological, to heal our relationship with God. Then it tells us how you receive it. It is to be received through the Holy Spirit as the true rule and guide for faith and practice. Scripture is read with the church, with the help of the Spirit, and it teaches us what to believe, our faith, and how to behave, our practice. And then it tells us a limit. What is not revealed in or established by the Holy Scriptures is not to be made an article of faith, nor is it to be taught as essential to salvation. Neither the church nor any pastor is to tell you that you have to believe things that are not in Scripture or may be established thereby in order to have a healed relationship with God. The purpose of Bible study is not just to fill you with knowledge from the ancient world. It is to help you know this God, whose name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and who has come for you in Jesus Christ. That is official United Methodist teaching. We are a biblical people. At the center of our worship is a pulpit on which sits not a private copy of Scripture, but the church's own book. And therefore, I leave you with a question. If you are not a student of Scripture, how can you know what it means to be saved?
Oh,
you will take out your scripture sheet. This is one of the two most neglected passages in the New Testament. Takes a brave man to preach on a genealogy. I want you to notice it begins with Joseph, and seven names down is Joseph. Number eight is Matthias, and you go seven down, and there's another Matthias. And that sets the pattern for 77 names in 11 groups of seven. You don't see that in your Bible. At the center in the sixth group of seven, it ends with Son of David, so Jesus is Messiah. The eighth group ends with Son of Abraham, so Jesus is a Jew. The tenth group ends with Son of Enoch, who went mysteriously to heaven, and it ends with one who, like Jesus, was also Son of God as a direct creation, which is Adam. Now, if I pronounce all the names right, you should cheer for me. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was faultlessly supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Jannai, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Joanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kasam, the son of Elmadam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Matthat, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph. And then at the very center, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Minna, the son of Mattath, the son of Nathan. What? Read with me. The son of David. The son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Selah, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Admin. The son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. The son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Reu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Cainan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Meluzah, the son of Enoch. And then the punchline, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Cainan, the son of Enos, the son of Heth, the son of Adam, the son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Children love to hear stories about when their parents were small. It's why a six-year-old can ask his 40-year-old father, "Dad, tell me what it was like back in the olden days." And if a child has grandparents or great-grandparents, the heritage of family memory can be pushed back 50 or almost 100 years. I love to listen to my 95-year-old grandmother, Lida, speak about her father and her grandfather, who remembered when the Yankees crossed the little PD at Gallivant's Ferry in Horry County. Or the story from my mother's side, how a little Indian blood crept in the family to explain the unusually high cheekbones of the Turner women. Or the best is the story of my Uncle James, who I buried, who during Prohibition was sent to McClellanville to stay with my grandfather's supposedly upright Methodist steward brother, who had a secret business back in the Sumter National Forest making whiskey for the Capone Syndicate, and how during an inspection tour from Chicago, Capone's enforcer Legs Diamond flipped my Uncle James a $5 gold piece across the hood of a Pierce Arrow automobile. Saints and scoundrels, my family history. They gave me a story to live inside of, and they told me from whence I come. I used to love Thrill Kill and Turner family reunions because all my uncles were there. And when they gathered in a circle to talk, I would back up to them close enough to where I could hear all their World War II reminiscences.
You see, my Uncle Jim was not just a dirt farmer outside Shelby, North Carolina. He was a B-25 rear tail gunner facing down any 109s that came blazing at him with 30 caliber machine guns. And my Uncle Ernest was not just a drunkard and a gambler. He was a sonar operator pinging Japanese cargo ships before releasing M-48 torpedoes. And when you're 10 years old, that's pretty heady stuff for a goofy little chubby kid with a cowlick in the middle. But the very best piece of family history came to me in my 15th year. My father subscribed to the magazine Civil War Illustrated. And in one was an article about Quantrill's Raiders, a band of Southern irregulars who ran across Kansas murdering Republicans. Bloody Lawrence, an awful, awful massacre, was one of their raids. And some of Quantrill's raiders went on to fame and fortune and premature death as Western outlaws. You know their names. Jesse James, Frank James, Coleman Younger, Bloody Bill Anderson, and at the end of that long list of thugs, a name that made my 15-year-old hairless chest swell with pride, John Threlkill. I said to myself when I read the article, I knew I always had a little outlaw blood in me. Must be why I like Waylon and Willie so much. Within the last month, I've uncovered a really dark chapter in my near lineage. It helps me understand a long, blank silence in my family. You see, when you shake a family tree, you may never know what may fall to the ground or what they may be wearing. Maybe a pointy red hood. And that I now own the man's pistol makes me wonder what it may have been used for. Saints and scoundrels and ordinary people that make up the lineage, the blessing and the curse which came to us all. Whenever as a child I heard family stories about the family before I was born, there was always an emotional reaction because some of the stories landed in the column of who am I and others landed in the column of where I came from. Now for some people their family history is more positive than others, as when there is a persistent strain in the family across generations of alcoholism or mental illness or suicide or abortion or inherited diseases or unbelief or occult involvement. And for some people, family history is more available than others, as when their family has cared for its history. But some people are adopted and they don't know where they came from, which is maybe why genealogies are so important in our days. People ask, where did I come from? Did I just make myself up, or do I have a place in the passing of the generations? What tribe am I coming from? And what are the forces that bear on my physical and mental wellness? And if there is a true hero in your family, or if there is a scoundrel, or if there is an honest saint, so much the better, because they add splashes of color to the mundane passing of the generations. Now, because we live in a culture that's all about the now, we think that the biblical genealogies are absolutely irrelevant. People make jokes like, I tried to read the Old Testament, but I couldn't get past all the begats. They must have done a lot of begatting in those days. Now, we sometimes name a child Jacob or David, but nobody names their kid Arpaxad or Zerubbabel anymore. And if you look at the lectionary that most Methodist church uses, called the Revised Common Lecture, you will find that Luke's genealogy and Matthew's genealogy have been cut out for public reading. Where did we get the gall to cut out whole chapters of the Gospels? But pastor, will someone say to me, nobody wants to read that stuff. It's boring. Give me something relevant for today. But I will tell you that I trust the Scriptures more than our craving for relevance. Luke's genealogy is important. As an ancient historian, he took great care to put it together. Luke understood that if his biography of Jesus was going to make it in the Greco-Roman world, that no biography of an ancient hero was without a genealogy. You had to show not just that the man was great, but that his lineage was great. And that the gods had been preparing all along for his arrival. And that is what Luke did. Because if you go back to the middle, there's David. Jesus has messianic credentials. If you go back 14 more generations, there's Abraham. Jesus is a Jew. If you go back more, you get back to mysterious Enoch, who walked with God so far that when it came time to die, Enoch just went home with God. And then you go 7 back more, and you are back to Adam, the first man, who had neither father nor mother. Jesus did not just pop into history fully formed. Jesus has roots and place and belonging. He came from somewhere. He is where the whole of history has been headed since God formed the first man, Adam. He had a Jewish mother and a Jewish stepfather. Jesus is the culmination of history. Linda Chick wrote this story. One day I sat down with my daughter, and explained with pride that her grandfather was a preacher, her great-grandfather was a preacher, and her great-great-great-grandfather was a preacher. To which she replied, "Wow, Mommy, we sure come from a long line of grandfathers." Jesus just didn't pop into history. He did not just appear one day as a full-grown man. Jesus is the culmination of all that God has been doing since God created male and female and mamas and dads and grandmamas and granddads. Now, we want a little snapshot, and Luke does a documentary. Luke gives us a long-haul perspective. It's very interesting where Luke puts the genealogy. In Mark, we go from the baptism of Jesus to his trial in the wilderness. And Luke says, this is a great place for me to drop the genealogy in. Because Jesus is Son of God by his preexistence. He is Son of God by his virginal conception. He is Son of God by prophecy and angelic message. He is Son of God at his baptism. And he has the lineage of the Son of God in his genealogy. And it is as the Son of God that Jesus goes into battle with the enemy of our souls. Luke was a very sophisticated, ancient, rhetorical, artistic theologian. And he has hidden the identity of Jesus, this long list of 78 names. Now, the thing I noticed about this genealogy is it's full of ordinary people. There are 36 names in Luke's genealogy. We don't even know where they came from. Which means that people matter. And that God knows the history and the name and the struggles and the identity of every person who has ever lived. Even those who were never brought to birth. Do you know the name of the waitress where you eat? Do you know the name of your postman? Do you know the name of the people that pick up your garbage? Do you know the names of all the people that serve you? Or do you treat them as people whose names and stories are not worth knowing? Nobody in this whole long family tree knew that they were in the lineage of Jesus. How proud it must have been for them to die and hear from the Lord, 500 years after your death, long into the future, it is from your lineage that the Messiah will come. Did you know that I will not know the meaning of my own life until I die? And I look back and the Lord shows me the genealogy all the way back to the beginning. And he shows me how many times he protected me by angels. And he shows me how strategic were the people that crossed my path. I could go to therapy all my life and not know the meaning of my life because I do not have the large context. I do not know from whence I have come, and I do not know what effects for good or evil my life will have had until I stand before the Lord. I need the little Phil story to be caught up in the larger story of God's work in creation. We believe in the communion of the saints, and that is where our story. So when I run across lonely people or forgotten people or people that no one pays attention to and orphaned people who don't know who their mom and dad were, what am I going to tell them? I can tell them that in Christ they can be grafted into the family of Jesus. They can be drawn into the large purposes of God that extend from Adam all the way to the kingdom. That we can be their family and that we can give them a story. That's why I listen to people. When you talk to me, my radar is turning. I'm listening for the grace of God. And I especially enjoy listening to people that no one else listens to. A second observation, there are no women in this list. Do these men have these babies? No. It was a patriarchal list because only men mattered. And God worked with that until God could change it. But when I get to the kingdom, I'm going to get to know not only that Adam's wife was Eve, but who was Enoch's wife. I know Abraham's wife was Sarah, and I know that David had a bunch of wives. There is a shadow side of this genealogy. But I'll tell you something I'm looking forward to. And this is peculiar to me. I love connections. And I just have this keen sense of being indebted to people. And at death, I don't want to meet Jesus right away. I mean, that's the end. But I want Jesus to show me all the people that were in my lineage of faith. All the people that kept the gospel alive and wrote the scriptures and passed it down until it got to Chiral. And I want to go back up that ladder one by one by one. And I want to thank them for being faithful in passing that gospel along so we could reach a broken 19-year-old down in Chiral. What an amazing story. I want to stand with my grandmother who prayed for me every day, and I want to sing Amazing Grace. And I want to get all my Sunday school teachers together in a circle in heaven, and I want to sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Then I want to walk up the ladder and shake the hands of every pastor that was my pastor, who preached the scriptures and served the sacraments and taught me confirmation. And I want to stand with them and sing, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. And then farther up, I want to get to John and Charles Wesley. And I want to thank them for this sturdy Methodist faith. And I got a few theological questions. Then we're going to stand there on our rung of the ladder and we're going to sing, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Then I'm going to jump over to Germany. I'm going to be with Martin Luther. There's going to be a big German chorale in heaven and we're going to sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Then who knows the turns and trails on the way back with popes and preachers and minstrels and monks and the humble and the highborn. Then I'll finally get back to the apostles. I'll get back to Luke, with whom I'm spending a year in his gospel trying to understand every word. And I'm going to thank him for the genealogy. And we're going to stand there and we're going to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And every way along the way, I'm going to thank those people. Then I'm going to get to Jesus. And I'm going to have a resurrection body. I'm going to be bathed in glory. And I'm going to thank him that he put his bruised shoulders under an old rugged cross and bore the sins of the whole world down into death and rose victorious so that some guy like me, all the way down history, could get the same story and have the same benefits. And I'm going to sing to him, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. And I don't care who's singing. Folks, we didn't make up this gospel. It came down the lineage of the church. It was faithfully preserved. It was written in the scriptures. It was summarized in the creeds. It was celebrated in the sacraments. It was evangelized in the fields. And finally, it reached and saved a poor boy like me. We must preserve this message because there's another genealogy. It's a genealogy that comes after me. and without a lot of pride, I believe there are people that will pass by me on their way to Jesus. And they'll say, Pastor Phil, thank you for visiting me in the hospital. And thank you for praying for me. And thank you for telling me I was forgiven of my wretched sins. And thank you for preaching the word. And thank you for helping me stay on the path. See, I don't want to be a dead end in this genealogy. I want the genealogy to come to me and go way on down for multiple generations. There's a place for you in God's family. And today, two little children, a boy and a girl, are going to be grafted in to the family tree of Jesus through holy baptism. Their names are going to be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they become the next link in the chain. I believe the Methodist Church and all mainline churches made a big mistake when they let modern relevance cut out these two great genealogies from the public reading of Scripture. Because when you see what Luke did, it is absolutely amazing how relevant it is. People need a home. They need a home in God, and they need a home in the church, and they need a family that will be with them whatever happens. There is nothing like a local church despite all its faults. And I encourage you never to despise it, because it is of God. And it is that fragile little intersection where that genealogy is added to and added to and added to and added to across the generations. Thank God that I did not skip this passage of Scripture. Because I have wept over it all week as I thought about that great line of preachers and laity who preserved this thing full strength till it got down to me. And I'm grateful, and I'll live out of that debt every day of my life. Let us stand and sing together.
Blessed be
the back of your scripture sheet is a version of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to learn during the month of June. The choir will sing it today, and we'll learn it in the next couple of weeks. So our ushers are ready to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. good things God has given in this life and in the world to come. Let us stand to give thanks to God. Let us pray. For the scriptures and the faith and the sacraments and young couples presenting their children to Jesus Christ, we give you humble thanks, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Gentry and D'Alessandro families come and take their place here. Will the congregation please turn to page 33, and will you please stand? Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. I've met with both these families and instructed them in the meaning of baptism. And as these parents retake their baptismal vows, I invite the whole congregation to join in reaffirming yours. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
I do.
And now a precious promise for these four parents. Will you nurture your children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, profess their hope, faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? And now to their parents and their families, any godparents, will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? We will. The top of page 35, number 8, there's a question for the whole church. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? as Christians have done since the second century, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Church, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The congregation may be seated. Please join me at the thanksgiving over the water. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Tell of God's mercy each day.
Tell of God's mercy each day.
In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Declare his works to the nations.
Declare his works to the nations.
His glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, that these two children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in His final victory.
All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever.
Amen, amen, amen.
Our lay leader will present the first candidate. Ruby Parish, I baptize in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen.
Ruby Parish, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross as Christ's own forever. The Holy Spirit so fill you that you may be all your life long a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said,
Amen.
If you'll present the second candidate. Ryan Cole, I baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. It's quite a shock, isn't it? And God's people said,
Amen.
Ryan Cole, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross as Christ's own forever. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit all your life long. Amen. And wait just a minute. Stop. Emmy came this week and said, could she walk? Let's take them back. Emmy came and asked, could she walk her granddaughter in the aisle? And I said, absolutely not. It's not part of our liturgy. Emmy, no, I'm gonna break our habit and let you have this moment of wonderful glory. You're going to carry your grandchild down, and our lay leader is going to carry Ryan Coles. And as they walk down the aisle, let's just sing Jesus Loves Me. Okay? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Ruby and Coles, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and burn down the church. Hold it by the bottom.
I'm going to hold it by the candle.
You know, folks, Christian life is messy and so is baptism. And here's a certificate for both of you that you can be reminded that you're raising this child for Christ. Those of you who have raised children from birth know what a challenge it is. So I invite you to add your assent to this blessing upon these two families. To the Gentrys and D'Alessandros, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Now, because Ashley and Ryan are transferring to membership today, there are two more questions for them. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As members of Main Street, you faithfully participate in our ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. Okay? You may be seated. And our last hymn is, what number? 605. Now, the reason I've chosen this hymn is because it's a new baptismal hymn, and it expresses the prayer of these parents for their children. Please stand for number 605. It is a powerful thing to sit down for 30 minutes or an hour with a couple, to talk about the meaning of a child, to talk about the promises of baptism. Should these children live into their 60s or 70s or 80s and 90s, what we have done today will have effects far into the future. This is the power and vision of Christ Church. And so after I bless you, I invite you to come up and greet these families. And if you're a person who does not have a church family and you are lost in this world, I'll be here to speak with you about getting you connected to the lineage of Jesus Christ. The blessing of Almighty God be upon you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.